Big Finish present Doctor Who, Short Trips, String Theory by Keeney Brown, read by Stephen Critchley. New York, 1936. Leela, stop fidgeting with your dress. It is too thin and too long. Not even a warrior of the Sever team could fight properly in this outfit. Good, then don't fight. Huberman is about to play the Bach Chaconne. Close your eyes and listen to it. Then you can tell me what it's about. Oh, will this one have words? No, it's a violin solo. Now be quiet and listen. On the stage, Bronislav Huberman raised the Gibson Stradivari violin to his shoulder. Stillness descended on the room as the audience held its collective breath, waiting for the sound of the opening chords. Only Leela continued to fidget, pulling at the fabric that covered her legs. The doctor tapped her hand lightly with his. She threw him a warning glance. He placed a finger against his lips and with his other hand pointed towards the violinist. Leela's eyes followed his gaze. Huberman waited another moment, letting the quietness settle before pulling his bow across the strings. Music cut through the silent air of Carnegie Hall. Leela gasped, surprised by the power of the sound. The fabric fell from her fingers, her body tensed as she leaned forwards, drawn into the turbulent emotion of Bach's composition. The doctor smiled and relaxed back into his seat. This was a part of her education that he was going to enjoy. As the final flourish of Brahms' Hungarian dance in B minor died away, the audience rose to its feet and the hall filled with exuberant applause. Leela stared at the stage, her eyes glistening. When she felt the doctor's gaze on her, she blinked hard before turning to meet his look. "What do you think?" he said, nodding towards Huberman as he took his bows with the pianist and orchestra. Leela grasped for the right words, the effort furrowing the smoothness of her brow. "I've never heard such sounds, such music. It was like a man crying, and then it sounded like people dancing. How do so many sounds come from such a small box of wood?" The doctor grinned. "That's a good question. Let's go and ask Bronislav." As the audience ambled towards the exits, chattering about the concert, the doctor led Leela to the backstage area. When they reached the small dressing room, a uniformed guard stepped forward to block their path. Leela tensed, her hand instinctively reaching for the knife she'd hidden beneath her petticoats. The doctor stayed her hand with his and gave the guard his broadest smile. "It's okay, I'm the doctor, and this is Leela. We're here to see Mr. Huberman." The guard looked the doctor up and down. "He's not sick," he growled. "I'll be the judge of that," said the doctor, and swept past the guard and into the room beyond with Leela close behind. The dressing room was in chaos. Huberman and his assistant were surrounded by police and staff from the concert hall, all looking for something. As the door opened, the violinist looked up.
"Doctor," he said, "what a time for you to turn up. Sorry about the chaos. My Strad's just been stolen again."
"Your wooden box of music? The one that made such a glorious sound?" Leela stepped forward. "Shall I get you another one? I saw many of your music boxes on the stage. Where are they kept?" The doctor put a hand on Leela's shoulder. "Those other music boxes, violins, wouldn't be a replacement for Bronislav's instrument. His violin was made by Antonio Stradivari, who made violins that have a sound no one else has been able to match. It is one of life's mysteries, even for me." He gave a small shrug. The orchestra's instruments wouldn't sound anything like as good.
Your friend's violin is special. I understand.
Leela's eyes took on a steely glint.
Then I will find it for you. I will hunt the thief and make him pay.
She brandished the now unsheathed knife and ran from the room. All eyes turned towards the doctor. He tilted his hat in farewell.
If anyone can find it, she can. But I'd better make sure she doesn't harm the thief.
He spun on his heel and followed Leela down the corridor to the side exit. The February air was cold after the heat of the dressing room. The doctor adjusted his scarf and looked about him for signs of the thief or Leela. She appeared around the corner of the building, walking slowly back towards the stage door. Her head hung low in defeat.
I did not catch him. He jumped into a yellow chariot and I could not run fast enough to catch him in this stupid dress.
She scowled at the doctor, then continued. I saw his face. We will return to the TARDIS. It will be easier to hunt him in my own clothes.
The doctor nodded. Perhaps the TARDIS will be able to help. Come along now, stop dawdling.
Leela glared at him. Then, with a shrug, she trotted after him back to the TARDIS. The doctor fidgeted around the TARDIS console, twiddling knobs and dials. Leela followed behind him, occasionally catching an elbow in her midriff as the doctor manipulated a control with particular vigor. When everything was set, he turned to face her.
Let's go and find that violin.
Then, with a flourish, he pushed down the dematerialization lever. The time engines wheezed and screeched as the TARDIS faded from 1936 New York. Gradually, the noise faded and the TARDIS became still again. The doctor looked at the scanner screen and frowned.
What is it, Doctor?
Leela leaned over to see what was causing the doctor's expression.
On the screen, the grey bustle of New York had been replaced by buildings of soft red and gold colours, with not a car in sight.
That's not New York, said the doctor. He punched at several buttons, looked back at the screen and frowned.
It seems the TARDIS took me too literally. We're in 18th century Cremona.
Why would the TARDIS bring us here, Doctor?
Because this is where Bronislav's violin was made.
He glanced up at Leela, then towards the door, his brow furrowed.
Cremona would be a wonderful place for you to study the musical arts, he mused.
But what about your friend's violin? The Doctor looked at the monitor, then back at his companion's face. Her eyes gleamed with the thrill of the hunt. With slow hands, the doctor checked the TARDIS controls and once more flipped the dematerialization switch. The engines gave a short rasp, a low whine, and then silence. The doctor's frown deepened. He muttered to himself, checking instruments and controls. Leela watched as again the doctor tried to dematerialize the TARDIS. This time, the engines were silent.
What is it, Doctor? What is wrong?
Wrong. Yes. Something's definitely wrong. There seems to be some kind of dimensional shear that's stopping the TARDIS from leaving. It seems we're trapped in Cremona.
Is it dangerous?
Leela's hand felt instinctively for her knife. The Doctor's frown turned into a broad grin.
Isn't it always?
He picked up his hat and rushed to the door.
Come on! What are we waiting for?
If we can't sort out whatever's causing the shear, we're going to be living here for a very long time indeed. With a glance down at her dress, Leela headed after him, muttering to herself that she should have changed while she'd had the chance. Outside the TARDIS, the air was mild. The sun was bright, burnishing the honey-coloured stone walls of the square of buildings around them. The doctor breathed deeply.
Can't you just smell the history, Leela?
Leela sniffed at the air.
No, Doctor, but I can smell many other things. Do you want to know what they are?
Not now. We have a violin to find.
Now, where exactly are we? He scanned the walls until his eyes came to rest on a white sign painted near the corner of one of the buildings. Of course. Piazza San Domenico. Where else? This way, he called over his shoulder and started off across the piazza. Lila's long strides quickly made up the distance between. As her pace began to match the doctor's, he stopped abruptly. Lila's senses sprung to alert. What is it, doctor? Why have we stopped? She scanned the piazza quickly, ready to defend herself and the doctor. The doctor took no notice. His eyes were firmly fixed on the large three-story house in front of them. Lila followed his gaze. She held her breath, waiting for the doctor's next move. Through the dress fabric, her fingers itched against the handle of her knife. The doctor put out a hand, resting it on her sleeve. With some reluctance, she broke contact with the knife and let her arm drop to her side. "We are not going to hunt the thief in that building," she said.
"No, Lila. We're going to see the greatest violin maker that ever lived. So please, don't stab him or poison him."
Lila opened her mouth to reply, but the doctor's long strides were already taking him straight to Stradivari's home and workshop. As they neared the building, the door flew open and a tall, white-haired man in a simple white shirt, breeches and a carpenter's apron burst out from the gloom of the doorway.
"Signora, welcome, welcome. How was your journey, eh? Not too tiring, I hope. How is Signor Tartini? Is he not travelling with you?"
No, Signor Stradivari. My companion Lila is with me today. I'm the doctor."
The white-haired man frowned. He looked from the doctor to Lila and back, quickly casting an eye over their clothes. His mind seemed to do a quick calculation, and, satisfied with the result, he regained his initial smile. He gave a small bow towards Lila and then gestured that they should both enter the shop.
"My apologies, please. Come in, signor doctor."
The trio stepped into the shade of Stradivari's shop. Around the room, violins were hung by their scrolls against the soft-coloured walls. A cello rested in a corner, and on the table lay several bows. The doctor's eyes glowed with excitement. Lila stood close to the door, studying the violin maker and taking note of the doors and windows in the room.
"I'm looking for a violin," said the doctor. "Something with a nice big sound. Something you've made recently, perhaps."
"Ah, yes, you have heard about my new pattern. The flatter arching gives a much better projection. I've just been setting up a selection of instruments. They're in the parlour. Come through. I'm sure Signor Tartini will be very happy with whatever you choose. But these latest instruments I'm very pleased with."
The doctor followed Stradivari into the parlour. At the doorway, the doctor paused.
"Lila, why don't you have a little look around? See if you can find anything interesting."
As the door closed behind the doctor, Lila gave the shop one more glance. Nothing looked out of place. Nothing felt wrong. She opened the door at the back of the room and felt the warmth of the sun reflected by the light walls of the courtyard. For a moment she blinked in the sudden brightness, but as her eyes adjusted, features came into focus. In the opposite corner of the yard was another room, with slatted walls. Lila took a step towards it, then stopped as she heard a wailing, like that of a wounded animal. She listened closely. It was like no animal she recognized, but the poor beast was obviously in pain. Lila tensed, listening for the direction of the noise. As it started again, her muscles tensed, ready to hunt. She had seen the damage a wounded animal could do. Knife in hand, she crept back through the shop. The noise was coming from the parlour. She listened at the door for a moment more. Then, with a roar, she pushed against the wood and burst into the parlour. Stradivari gasped at the sight of the young woman brandishing a knife and backed away towards the door at the other end of the room. The doctor held up his hand.
"What on earth are you doing, Lila?"
"I heard a strange animal crying in pain."
Lila quickly checked the room while Stradivari stared at her, as if wondering whether he'd been wrong to let these strangers into his house.
"There are no animals in here," said the doctor, "but there is this beautiful example of Signor Stradivari's work." Lilla stared at the instrument in the doctor's hand.
Is that the violin?
It's a violin. Listen, it's rather lovely. The doctor raised the instrument to his shoulder and drew the bow over the strings. Lila winced.
It doesn't sound like Mr. Huberman.
The doctor drew his bow again. Lila took a step backwards, as if trying to get out of the range of the sound. The doctor put down the instrument.
Well, it's only my first lesson, he muttered.
Stradivari took a small step forwards.
Perhaps this instrument would suit you better, signor.
He held out the violin, then quickly changed his mind and lifted it to his own shoulder and began to play. The air filled with the rich voice of the violin. Lila clapped her hands.
That's it! That's the sound!
You like this instrument better? You have good ears, Signorina Lila.
Stradivari handed the violin to the doctor, indicating that he should try it. In the doctor's hands, the instrument's rich tone became harsher, but still filled the room. He tried again, mimicking Stradivari's stance, but was unable to recreate the full sound of the master luthier. He handed back the instrument.
I think we've wasted enough time here, Lila, he grumbled. Come on, we have to find that shear.
But there is something here.
She pointed at the violins.
That one is like Mr. Huberman's instrument. That one is not.
Why? She turned to Stradivari.
Why are they different?
The luthier's smile slipped just a little, but the knife, inadvertently still in Leela's hand, was enough to convince him that the truth was his best option.
The first violin was made by one of my apprentices. I use it to see how people hold an instrument. I don't want my best work to get dropped by a novice player.
He picked up the apprentice's violin and played a few notes.
It's a nice instrument, but not as good as mine.
Lila listened carefully, her face pinched as her brain struggled to make sense of something that she couldn't quite put a finger on. The doctor watched the thoughts play out in her expressions. The Stradivari violin had a bigger sound and a luscious tone, but there seemed to be something more troubling his companion. What is it? Lila searched for the words to explain what she was hearing. But all she could say was that the instruments were different, that the apprentice's violin did not ring like that of the master. The doctor nodded, conceding Leela's senses were far keener than his own. He turned to Stradivari.
Tell me about these two instruments. What else makes them different?
The luthier gave Leela's knife a quick glance.
Do you think your companion could put that away, please, signor?
The doctor glanced around, doing a double take when he realized the problem.
Lila, you've grown far too attached to that, you know. Now let's treat Signor Stradivari with the respect he deserves, huh?
When the knife was concealed, with some initial reluctance, Stradivari explained how the instruments were made. At the end of his account, the doctor shook his head.
So these two violins are made by the same processes, to the same patterns, with the same varnish, and the only difference is who made them?
Stradivari nodded.
That and the wood used. I don't let the apprentices use my best tone wood until the end of their training. They use the wood from the courtyard store. I keep the best wood upstairs in the attic room.
The doctor's eyes twinkled.
Perhaps there's something nasty in the woodshed.
He grinned at Lila.
We should take a look.
He turned to the luthier.
Please, show us.
Stradivari led them out of the parlour and into the courtyard. The wood store was large. The slatted walls allowed the warm air to circulate around the piles of wood, keeping them dry, ready for use. Lila picked up a piece of maple, already cut to size, ready for shaping. She angled it to catch the light, admiring the flame pattern in its grain.
It's beautiful.
Stradivari took the piece from her and tapped it.
It is beautiful, but the sound is not so rich. Here, try.
He held out the wood and Lila took it gently, holding it between her thumb and first finger as he had done. With the knuckle of her other hand, she tapped at the wood and listened closely.
It is not like the wood of your violins. This is different. Stradivari beamed at her.
You do have a good ear.
Lila's face brightened at the praise. She looked at the doctor, waiting for him to comment. Instead, he poked around in the dusty corners of the room a little longer, occasionally wiping the surface with the end of his scarf. The smile slipped from Leela's face as she watched him search. Eventually, the doctor looked up and returned her gaze.
I don't think there's anything interesting here. Let's see the attic.
In the attic wood store, Leela shivered. Despite the sun's warmth, the room felt cool, almost cold. Dust twinkled in the sunlight, yet the air felt thin. Stradivari stood nervously in the doorway as the doctor and Leela searched the room. Again, Leela picked up a piece of wood and tapped at it, as Stradivari had shown her. Her face brightened.
This is the same, she announced.
Hmm? The doctor mumbled. Leela plucked at his sleeve, determined not to be ignored again.
This wood is the same as in his violins.
She nodded towards Stradivari.
The other wood is not like this. I think there is something strange about this place, Doctor.
I think you could be right. He stood still for a while, one eye closed, staring away from them. Eventually he nodded to himself and jerked his head towards the corner of the room.
Do you see it?
Leela followed his gaze into the shady corner of the room. Despite the cool temperature, the air there seemed to shimmer like a heat haze. She took a step closer, then turned to the doctor.
What is it?
I think that might be our dimensional shear.
The doctor turned to Stradivari.
What do you see in the corner?
Stradivari took a few paces forwards.
I see wood, some dust.
He squinted at the darkness, trying to work out what he was supposed to be seeing. He shrugged.
There is nothing else to see.
The doctor rubbed his hands together in glee. He beamed.
Clever girl, Leela. You see it, don't you? But he doesn't.
Leela was happy that the doctor was so pleased with her, but confused as to what she had done to make him so delighted. The doctor pointed at the dislocation, shimmering and scintillating in the gloom.
He can't see it because it's a part of his reality. But we can because we don't belong in this time frame.
The doctor's head nodded as if agreeing with himself in some conversation only he could hear.
Yes. Yes. Now I understand.
Understand what, Doctor?
How Stradivari gets his sound. Why his violins sound so exquisite. It's the dimensional shear.
The doctor chuckled to himself.
It's so obvious. Why didn't I spot it before?
In the dust on one of the planks of wood, he drew a small circle pressed into the outside of a larger curve.
This room is where two universes touch.
Ours, he pointed at the curve,
and the smaller secondary universe here.
This time he pointed at the circle.
It's like two bubbles touching. Anything here, he pointed at the intersection, is being pulled into both universes. That's the dimensional shear. This wood store is where two universes overlap.
Leela looked at the dusty diagram and then at the doctor.
I don't understand.
Of course you don't. Here, hold this.
He handed Leela a piece of his scarf.
See how it just hangs there?
He pulled the scarf.
Now, see how it's tighter. That's what's happening here.
Leela shook her head. The doctor looked around. On the bench was a violin. He picked it up and quickly turned one of the pegs. Then he plucked at the loosened string. It gave a dull, flat sound.
Imagine that's the sound of a normal violin made anywhere else in the world. Now, if I just pull the string a little tighter...
He turned the pegs until the violin was in tune once more, then plucked again. A brilliant, clear note sparkled into the air.
That is the sound of a Stradivari violin made here, from wood stored in this room. The wood is made up of little strings, too small to see, but they have been stretched just a little bit, so the wood is less dense. But the violins always sound that little bit better.
The doctor beamed at Leela.
It was obvious he was pleased with his lesson. She beamed back, not wanting to admit that she didn't quite understand.
"I see," she said slowly. "Does this mean we can leave now and find your friend's violin?"
At Leela's words, the doctor stopped smiling. The twinkle in his eye faded. He gave a small shake of his head. "We have to fix the dimensional shear before the TARDIS will take off."
"But you can do that, Doctor, can't you?"
Leela stared at the doctor. This was not the doctor she knew. His face seemed sad. His shoulders were slouched over, almost as if defeated. She clutched at his arm.
"What is it, Doctor? What's wrong?"
The doctor checked over his shoulder. Stradivari had wandered off, but he lowered his voice all the same. "It's this." He held up the violin. When I seal the shear, there will be no more violins that sound like this." "Oh, they'll sound good. Stradivari is a master of his art, but they won't have the wonderful tone that this one has, or any of the others he made from wood stored here." Leela drew herself up to a full height, tall and proud.
"Then we will find another way."
The doctor shook his head. "There is no other way, Leela. I have to do this, or we have to stay here." He turned on the spot, taking in the shapes of the storeroom, his lower lip out in a sad pout. "Come on," he said at last. "I suppose we have to get back to the TARDIS." As they passed through the shop, Stradivari joined them from the parlour.
"Would you like to take the violin, signor?"
The doctor shook his head.
"I believe Signor Tartini will want to hear that instrument for himself. I think he will visit soon. Make sure you keep it for him, huh?"
Stradivari nodded his agreement. He held the violin to his side as he bid the strangers farewell. In the TARDIS, the doctor's fingers flew over the control panel, punching at buttons, twiddling dials. "I'm sure there's something here that should do the job," he mumbled. "What are you going to do?" The doctor looked up, eyes gleaming. "I'm going to make that wood store the hottest place on the planet."
"But won't that make the wood catch fire?"
"It would if anyone else tried this, but I'm not anyone else. The small bubble is using energy from this universe. That's how it can grow bigger. And that's why the attic was so cold. If I give it enough energy, it should be able to separate off from our universe."
"Is that dangerous?"
The doctor's grin flashed again.
"Terribly. Do you want to watch?"
He pointed at the monitor. On the screen, there was a diagram, like the one the doctor had sketched into the sawdust. A red glow started to form where the bubbles overlapped. The smaller bubble began to expand. Leela held her breath until the two surfaces peeled apart, bouncing in opposite directions. The TARDIS gave a small shudder as the shockwave rippled through Cremona. The doctor watched the screen for a few more moments and gave a small nod. His plan had worked.
"Right, time to find that violin. Lost property really shouldn't be this troublesome, you know."
He grasped the dematerialization lever.
"Come on, old girl. Let's be on our way."
When the TARDIS landed, Leela was waiting by the main doors. She glanced over her shoulder at the doctor.
"Now we are back in New York, I shall capture the thief and make him return the violin."
The doctor stared at the monitor, frowned, then touched a control. A line of text appeared on the console.
"We're not in New York, nor are we in 1936. This is 1985, and we're not in Carnegie Hall. We're in Connecticut. How odd."
He picked up his hat from the TARDIS console and placed it on his head. "Let's find out why we're here." They stepped out into a small room lined with shelves containing bandages and pads, boxes and bottles. The doctor opened the door and they stepped into a corridor painted pale grey-green, with wide doors at each end. To the right of the medical store, sat on a short bench, was a middle-aged woman, her hands linked together, her head bowed as if she were praying. Beside her, the closed door had a no-entry sign stuck across its window. As the doctor and Leela approached, the woman looked up. "Who are you?" she said. "I'm the doctor." The woman looked from the doctor to Leela and back again. It was clear that she wasn't convinced by his words, but she said nothing. "Shall we?" The doctor opened the door and held it while Leela stepped into the room beyond. In the iron-frame bed was an elderly man. His breathing was shallow, but his eyes remained alert. As Leela stepped into the room, he gave a short gasp.
"You! Impossible!"
Leela approached the bed. She peered at the old man for a moment.
"You are the thief!"
She pulled out her knife and held it close to the old man's face.
"Where is the violin?"
The doctor pushed Leela's hand to one side.
"That will do, Leela."
He turned to the old man.
"I don't suppose you still have Huberman's violin. A short thing, about so long. Sounds like a heart melting."
The old man's eyes never left Leela's knife as he answered.
"Yes, how did you know?"
The doctor shrugged to himself.
"I do so wish you'd said no."
He frowned and began to pace around the room, tugging absent-mindedly at one of the loops of scarf around his neck. Leela joined him, matching his footsteps.
"Shall I make him tell us where he hid the violin, Doctor?"
The doctor shook his head.
"It doesn't matter now. We can't go back to 1930s New York and recover the violin without changing this future. We're part of it now. Bronislav's not going to get his Strad back."
"But there must be something we can do, Doctor." The doctor paced some more, staring at the floor as his feet traced out the pattern of the tiles. Then, with a snap of his fingers, his head jerked up. He dashed to the bedside.
"Where is the violin now?"
The old man's eyes drifted downwards, signalling to look under the bed. Leela knelt down and pulled a battered violin case across the floor. She picked it up and placed it on the bed. Inside was a grimy, blackened instrument, nothing like the beautiful, reddish-stained instrument that Huberman had played in 1936. She plucked the bow from its holder and tightened it as she had seen Stradivari do. Next, she drew the violin up to her shoulder and drew the bow across the strings, as if priming a weapon for firing. A clear, rich note filled the room. Leela jumped, startled by the sound. She tried again. Once more, the violin's voice sang out, luscious and resonant. The sound that Leela remembered from the concert and from Stradivari's workshop. "This is your friend's violin," she informed the doctor. The doctor motioned for Leela to join him away from the bed.
"Yes, I know," he hissed, "but we can't take it with us, and we can't go back and recover it."
The patient looked at Leela, his eyes falling on the slight bulge where she had hastily stashed her knife.
"I could confess."
He reached for the doctor's hand.
"I could tell people what I did, that I stole it, disguised it."
His head bobbed up and down as he spoke, agreeing with himself.
"I was selfish. I kept it too long. Such a beautiful thing is very hard to let go."
He paused, taking a rasping breath.
"But you're right. It should be with a great player."
The doctor pursed his lips.
"I agree."
The man looked towards the door.
"Is my wife outside? I will tell her. Now, please, send her in."
The doctor beckoned the praying woman into the room. Then he and Leela walked slowly back to the TARDIS. As they reached the medical supply room, they heard the woman's gasp through the partly opened bedroom door. The thief had kept his word. The doctor gave a small smile.
"You know, Leela, after all this, I might take up the violin. I hear Sherlock Holmes found it very relaxing."
"Who?"
"Ah, well, that's probably another story entirely."